Well, if you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is the chapter that we've been studying from when we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. 2 weeks we talked about the gifts in general. Last week, Pastor Nate talked about the vocal gifts or the gifts of utterance, and so then tonight I'm going to talk about the revelation gifts. And we'll just begin reading in verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And notice nowhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 does it mention that these are only for the preacher or the pastor or special anointed people. These are gifts that are given to the body. They're given to the body for the body. And they're given to individuals within the body. And there's not one person that doesn't qualify. Like I just said in the prayer, we all qualify for these because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And he goes on to say, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Now, last week when Pastor Nate was sharing, he talked about the vocal gifts, that's tongues, or different kinds of tongues, not just tongues in general, but different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And he talked about how different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues together equal prophecy. So that's almost like two sides of the same coin, I think he said. But tonight we're going to talk about the revelation gifts. What are some of those? There's three in here. What are those? Discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. So let's just go through these and talk about them a little bit. And I'll remind you what I talked about a couple of weeks ago, that the gifts of the Spirit are like fingers on a hand. They work together. They flow together. It's not so much that we be able to say, oh, this is a word of wisdom, and oh, this is, you know, a prophecy, and oh, this is a gift of healing and operation. It's knowing just a general working knowledge of all of them. And really, the reason we're doing this series is so that you can have more expectancy and that you can cooperate more and yield to God when he wants to, you know, do these things through you and work with you in this way. But the first one we're going to talk about is the word of, but they all work together. The word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge can be defined this way. It's a sudden supernatural impartation of certain information, certain facts, certain information, things either from the past or present, but things that exist. Certain information, past or present. And it comes from God. And God, we know, he knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And so at certain times, he will impart a little portion of that knowledge, which is why it's called a word of knowledge. And it's, you know, I have found and I've seen that a word of knowledge is not, you know, a chapter. It's a word, a phrase, a sentence. It may just be a picture, an idea, a thought. It's just a little piece of something. It's not the full picture. Sometimes it's just a piece in a puzzle. Now there may be multiple ones that come together that offer several pieces, but it's just God imparting a portion, like a small portion of knowledge to you. And it's just a little bit of the knowledge he has, but he's willing to share it with us at his will for a specific purpose. As we go on tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about what might be the purpose for God giving us one of these revelation gifts. But now let's go on to the second one, the word of wisdom. And it's very similar to the word of knowledge. But it's a supernatural impartation of knowledge, but of something in the future. So they're the same, except that the word of what we call the word of knowledge, or, you know, it's a knowing about something that's already exist, or it existed in the past, or at a past event, something, you know, from the present past. And the word of wisdom is something in the future. And, you know, if you really start meddling with these and mixing them up, you know, working them through, it's very difficult to discern which is which sometimes. The other day, Matt and I were coming to work, and oftentimes, those of you who live in South Carolina and frequent I-20 like I do, you realize that that bridge around the bridge at the state line, they keep that under construction with they're digging up things. You know, they're digging up little pieces of the road and putting pavement down, but they're about to put in a new bridge, and I'm wondering if they're going to just dig all that. I don't know. Lord, please give them some wisdom in what they're doing, because... But anyway, so Matt had come to the office before I did, and he had come on, and he calls back to me because I left the house after him. And he calls back to me, and he says to me, the lanes, you know, the right lane, it says it's closed and nobody's in that lane, but in all actuality, there's nothing going on in that lane. So you can actually ride in the right lane even though it says you have to get in the left lane. Well, when he called back to me and said that, in essence, he was giving me a word of wisdom, because it was something that was, you know, ahead in my future. Now, I'm using this as a parallel. This was not literally God. It's not this gift, but I'm just saying this is how the things work. But let me just tell you, this was from Matt Judd, a word of wisdom. He was giving a Matt Judd word of wisdom to me. Let me clarify. He was giving me a Matt Judd word of wisdom because it was something that was going to happen in my future, but he was already up there in the future. You understand? And he saw how it was, and he's telling me, I haven't yet come to it, and he's given me the warning ahead. He's telling me, Susie, you can go ahead and get in the right lane because there's nothing happening in there. You can go ahead and do it. You see? So that, for me, was a word of wisdom from Matt Judd, right? But it was something that existed in his presence, so for him, it was like a word of knowledge. So it's really difficult with words of wisdom and words of knowledge, even in spiritual things, because where's the future and where's the past sometimes? So let's don't get all bogged down in that. Let's just say it's a word from God, right. And not try to get all bogged down in it. Sometimes we like to do that. But anyway... And that, I really like the idea of Matt telling me something that's up ahead, but how much more would we like it if God told us something that was ahead? That really helped me out, because I say, you know, I just whizzed around all these people, and they're going, what is she doing? Is she trying to get to the front of the line? And I was screaming at them, there is no blockage, you can move too. But, you know, they couldn't hear me because our windows were up, and I wasn't actually screaming at them. But anyway, so that was going on. Now, so we have those two. And then the other revelation gift is the discerning of spirits. And we've talked about this before. It's not just discernment. And sometimes people get that mixed up. It's actually discerning of spirits. And it's discerning of things in the spirit realm. Really, and what kind of spirits? Well, it can be a discerning. It's not just discerning of demons. Some people, that's the only thing they ever discern. It's a demon. Yes, yeah. No. It's a demon that causes a man to wear earrings. It's that kind of a demon. Okay. No, sorry. Just teasing. Okay. I better stay over here because I don't want to get near him. But it's discerning of spirits. And so it can be demons, but it also can be angels. And I'd say in the Bible, we see more discerning of spirits of angels than any other kind of discerning of spirits. So the Bible is our manual. It's our handbook. So I would say that if all you ever see are demons, you're not really kind of in line with the Word. Because the Word, there's far more angelic appearances, so to speak, or discerning of spirits, seeing angels, than there are seeing demons. And then discerning of spirits can be seeing God or seeing Jesus. Because He doesn't bodily exist in this realm anymore. And if He appears to us, it's seeing into the realm of the Spirit. He's not physically on earth. He's ascended on high. So if we see Jesus, it's a discerning of spirits. If we see angels, it's a discerning of spirits. If we see demons, it's a discerning of spirits. So anything that we see in the spirit realm, to see over into the spirit realm, it would be discerning of spirits. But there may be other parts of it. I mean... just this weekend, I heard from a friend of ours whose son went to heaven prematurely when he was real young. And it was an awful situation, and he died. And it was just great torment for his parents, as, you know, losing a child can be. And but the father was saying that not that long after the son had died, that during the night, he said, I think I had a dream, but it was so real. It was more real than just sitting here talking to you. He said, and I saw my son, and I saw him in heaven. And I saw what he was doing, and I saw the people he was with, and I saw what he was doing. And he says, and I know it was him, and I know it was heaven. I saw it. And I was thinking about that. To see any spirit being is a discerning of spirits. And then he said this. He said, and the comfort that gave me, he said, the grief was gone in a moment. And he said, not that we were about to discern something there. he said, not that I don't miss him, but he said the pain of that grief, that searing, just burning torment is gone. And that came through discerning of spirits. So any type of seeing into the realm of the spirit, that's discerning of spirits. Praise God. So that's all part of the gifts of the spirit. Now, I can't make myself see an angel. And you can't make yourself see a demon. You can't. This is as the spirit wills. God has to open your eyes. And usually it's just for a moment he opens your eyes. Now, I think, again, this is an area. Some of these areas, like Nate mentioned last week, we've probably mentioned it every week. People hear about these things and they get weird. And y'all, that's the problem. Weirdness is what's kept us out of the good stuff. Because none of us want to be weird. Which is interesting. The Bible tells us not to despise prophecy. And I can tell you in my life, I've spent plenty of time despising prophecy. Because of weirdness. So we're not talking about being weird. And I don't think any of you are weird or are going to go to the weird side. But I just want you to be aware that there is weirdness out there. And people do strange things. But it's legitimate, y'all. It's the real deal. That you can see or that you can know or you can have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. That these things are real and they're valid. So don't just dismiss them. But I remember, I always remember this from when I was a kid. My mom and dad had a Bible study, and there were a lot of people, and they were in the real early days of charismania, and my mom had this woman tell her that she had gotten there to the meeting that night because there was an angel that sat on her hood, and every turn the angel pointed which way to go, you know, and so this woman, everywhere she'd go, there was an angel sitting on her hood pointing which way to go, you know, and this was her normal, is this right, Nan? This was her normal way of getting anywhere. I mean, this is before Google Maps, it's before even MapQuest. I don't think, you know, you could have just got easy, simple directions over the phone, but no, you know, and I just tell you, based on knowing the person, I don't think it was true. I think this person might have been seeing something, but I don't think it was from God. It was just weird. You know, it was just weird. So we're not talking about being weird, but yet don't let all the weirdness turn you off and let you, you know, and you dismiss it and say, well, I don't really want any part of that because I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be weird either. But I want the real. Is that right? Now, I think we could classify most visions that people have as a discerning of spirits. If the spirit realm is open to you and you see into the realm of the spirit, I think we could classify those as discerning of spirits. So, now, these three gifts, these revelation gifts, we see these prominently in the office of the prophet under the old covenant. That's what's interesting about the gifts of the spirit is they're not just something that came in after, you know, the book of Acts, but they were in Jesus experienced them. Other people in the Old Testament, I mean, other people in the New Testament experienced them. But even back in the Old Testament, God would give people insight. He'd give them words. He'd give them word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And you'll see it prominently in the prophets of the Old Testament. In fact, a lot of what we know as scripture is actually prophecy. Like a lot of the Psalms, like David wrote a lot of the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms are just prophecy. They are just inspired utterance. And so those were spoken years before they were written down. They were just spoken utterances that the Spirit of God would come on someone and they would prophesy. You don't think that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that the beauty and the majesty and the comforts you find in Psalm 23, you don't think David just came up with that, do you? That was something that the Holy Spirit spoke through him. It was an inspired utterance. And so we see that throughout, you know, the actual scripture, they are prophecies themselves. But let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6 and let's just see this, because this illustrates several of the gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to read from the New Living. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. So they'd make war plans, battle plans. But immediately Elisha the prophet, y'all remember there was Elijah and then Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. And so the king of Israel would send a word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. So you see what was happening? The prophet was telling the king of Israel what their enemies were doing, their war plans, their plans for battle, and it would thwart the enemy's plans. And this was happening over and over. Boy, that's a good thing, right? That's a real good thing. And then, verse 11, the king of Aram became very upset over this. Of course he did. He called his officers together and he demanded, which of you is the traitor? So the only thing that makes sense to him is one of you that's in my confidence here, that you're going and somehow or another getting a message down to the king of Israel. It must be. Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans? And then they said, it's not us, my lord the king, because they're afraid, you know, what might happen to him. One of the officers replied, Elisha, the prophet in Israel, he tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. We'll just leave that right there. Verse 13, go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God, so Elisha's servant, got up early the next morning, he went outside. There were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. The king of Aram had sent all his guys down to take Elisha. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. And Elisha told him, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, that's a crazy thing to say. And then Elisha prayed, oh, Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, discerning of spirits. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. What do you reckon those were? Angels, angelic forces. So in the natural, they were surrounded by the king of Aram's horses and chariots. But the reality was, even though they couldn't see him with their natural eyes, they were surrounded by chariots and horses of fire. God's armies were around them. And if you know the story, it all turned out okay for the prophet. Now, in this story, we see, though, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We see Elisha operating in the word of knowledge and probably the word of wisdom as well. So somehow or another, God is giving him knowledge of what the king's plans are, what plans he's making now and what he's going to do. That's where the word of wisdom comes in, what he's saying now and what he's going to do. So the knowledge of now and the knowledge of what he will do now and future. So word of wisdom and word of knowledge are both involved there. And so when Elisha gets this revelation from God, this word comes to him, this knowing, when God speaks to him about this, then he just make sure that the king of Israel understand, you know, knows what's going on. So they got a good system going here. It got them into big trouble, though, when the king of Aram finally learned about what was going on, and his idea was a good idea. Let's take out the prophet. But then we see another gift of the Spirit in operation. The third revelation gift, we see discerning of spirits when that servant's eyes were open. Now, we don't know if Elisha could see the horses and chariots of fire. We don't know that. Or if he just knew they were there by faith. So I don't know if he was seeing them. It doesn't say whether he could see them or not. He just said to the Lord, would you just open the servant's eyes so he can see? You see that? So all three of those are in operation. So when you start understanding what these are, you see them all over the scripture. But I'm going to tell you something else. When you start understanding what the word of wisdom is and the word of knowledge, and you really start looking in your life, I believe that all of us could probably, if we spent a little time thinking about it, we could probably pinpoint a time in our life where we had received a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Sometimes they you know, when they come, it just seems kind of normal. You ever had something come and you just knew it and you knew it, and then you're like, later on, how did I know that? But you knew it just as well as anything. And when you, I tell you, spiritual people, spiritual things happen to spiritual people. Do you know that? Y'all are spiritual people, aren't you? Spiritual things happen to spiritual people. And these spiritual gifts, they flow through spiritual people. So I just want to say to you, I think it would be good for you in the next couple of days, maybe tonight when you go home or sometime, just spend a little time and say to the Lord, Lord, help me to remember times you've worked in my life like this. You've worked through me. Because I tell you, it'll give you confidence about the future. And it will help you with your expectancy when you see, yeah, God, that's what that was. We don't always label them what they are. And I'll just say this, you know, for myself, I think there was probably a time in my life where I thought that was something for those, you know, those people that are over there high and lifted up, so to speak. But, you know, little people like me, we never have access to that. But I realized this is something that operates in your life. And I can look back way back years into my life when I was a teenager, and I can say, oh, that's what that was. That was a word of knowledge, or that was a word of wisdom. I remember dealing with a situation. I was like probably 16 years old, and I was dealing with somebody about something very serious. And in the middle of dealing with them from the inside, I just had the biggest knowing that it, and when you have the word of knowledge from God, there's a knowing, there's a confidence that comes with it. It's not a, is this or is this not? There will be a confidence that comes with it. The gifts of the Spirit carry within them a confidence, a strength. And there was just this confidence that this person I was dealing with, that what they were telling me, and I had no natural way of knowing this, but I knew that what they were telling me was absolutely a lie. And there was no reason for me to know that. I mean, there was no natural reason to think that. But what they were telling me, I knew better than anything that it was a lie. That I'm in the middle of a situation and I'm being just totally lied to. And it's not like I'm really good at reading people. You know, I don't have all those skills. But I just knew it on the inside. This is a lie. And I look back, that was the word of knowledge that I was being lied to. And really, because I knew that, the Lord used that, and that situation, there was a whole lot of stuff that happened as a result of it. But just things like that, I look back in my life, I think that just something that simple can be a word of knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to be a thus saith the Lord at the stroke of midnight on September 4th at the, you know, it can just be a word of knowledge of something. And you're his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, and he leads us. So just be a little more confident in your ability to flow in these. Be a little more confident in that. Now, oftentimes, particularly the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, remember Pastor Nate talked about this last Wednesday night, was talking about prophecy, that prophecy oftentimes will be a vehicle. In and of itself, prophecy will edify, it'll exhort, it'll comfort, it'll edification, exhortation, and comfort. So it will do those things. But in itself, the gift of prophecy alone has no foretelling in it, and it has no revelation in it. It is just a confirmation, an exhortation, and encouragement. But that gift of prophecy, because it's an inspired utterance, what is inspired can carry, the words it carries can be words of wisdom or words of knowledge. So those oftentimes go together. Same thing with tongues and interpretation of tongues, because that equals prophecy. They'll carry in them words of wisdom and words of knowledge. So oftentimes what people call prophecy is actually a word of wisdom. It's a prophecy with a word of wisdom in it. But just, you understand what I'm saying? It'll be like, just to bring clarity for you, it's not all just prophecy. It is an inspired utterance. But if somebody has a word that has a foretelling in it, or it has a word of supernatural knowledge, it's actually one of these gifts in operation. So, but they all, again, they all work together. Where does one end and the other begin? It's not quite that you know. Now, here's a question. When words of wisdom and words of knowledge come to you, what should you do with them? And I just want to talk about this a little bit. What should you do with them? Because you're going to get them. You've been getting them. You're going to get more. What should you do? Well, let's just look here in the scripture and let's see. Matthew chapter 12. I saw this on Sunday when Pastor was reading. He read these verses, and when he read them, I just saw immediately Jesus had a word of knowledge. It says in verse 22 of Matthew 12, then one was brought to him, to Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Verse 25, this is the word of knowledge. But Jesus knew their thoughts. How did Jesus know his thoughts?
Well, he just knew their thoughts because he was Jesus, and Jesus knows everybody's thoughts.
No, he knew their thoughts because God gave him a word of knowledge. And that word of knowledge was just this simple, that he knew what they said. He knew what they said. That was it. He just knew what they said. He knew their thoughts. You know, so he, I mean, excuse me, he didn't know what they said. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And he said to them, and he, Pastor read it on Sunday, every kingdom divided against itself. And he did this big teaching. Now, this is interesting because Jesus had a word of knowledge and he knew their thoughts. And his word of knowledge didn't manifest in him say, I discern your, you know, I don't want to word. I know your thoughts. I'm picking up your thoughts here. And here's what you're thinking. That's not how he responded. He responded by teaching something. So he knew what they were thinking, and he didn't actually rebuke their thoughts. He didn't confront them. He just started teaching. So that's an interesting thing, because Jesus knew what to do when he got the word. When God showed him what they were thinking, then he knew what to do with what he got. Now, this is important, because if you get words, what are you going to do with them? Because you don't always, you see in the scripture, there's different things that, there's different purposes for the words. And so here's a comforting thought. The one who gives you the word knows what to do with the word. So if he gives you a word of knowledge, he knows what you should do with it. If he gives you a word of wisdom, he knows what you should do with it. So stick around and ask him, what would you have me do? Listen a bit further for instruction of what to do with what you're getting. So if you know the thoughts, Jesus knew their thoughts, he could have done a lot of things. But he used that to teach them exactly what they needed. Now think how powerful that is. Think how powerful that is. If you're ministering to somebody and you can discern their thoughts, and I use the word discern here, not in discerning of spirits, but that you can know, you can have a word of knowledge about their thoughts. If you have a word of knowledge about their thoughts, then you can address where they're missing it. You can address what their real concern is. Now, hey, what about as a parent? Wouldn't this be great? Your sullen little kid wanders through the house, crestfallen. Maybe they don't want to tell you what's going on, but suddenly in a moment, you can know, oh, there was a bully today, pushed him down, blah, 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 blah. You can deal with it. You see, there's things you can, that God can reveal to you just to know something. It's powerful. But so here he dealt with them and he taught them something. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn over there and read because you know the story, I think. The woman at the well. What happened to the woman at the well? Y'all can answer me. Jesus told her everything about herself. Did he tell her everything about herself? He didn't tell her everything. He didn't actually, but that's what she said. She said, he told me everything about myself. But he didn't tell her everything about herself. All he did was he told her that you've been with five husbands and the guy you're with now is not your husband. But in her mind, that was everything. That was her dirt. That was her story. So he thought this is everything, but it wasn't everything. He didn't tell her blood type. I mean, he didn't tell her everything. So, you know, there were a few things, you know. But anyway, but he just knew that. Now, again, people think, it was Jesus, Susie. It was just Jesus. Quit. You're just trying to make something that isn't somebody. No, it was a word of knowledge. The same spirit that came upon Jesus has come upon you. It's the same gift that operates with us today, that operated with him that day. He knew what was going on. Now, what did he do with that gift? Well, he said when that word came to him, he told it to her, but he used that word to minister to her. Now, that's really important. When God gives you a word, there's a purpose in it. And so this word, the purpose for this word, wasn't so that when Peter got back, he could say to Peter, Peter, what are you thinking? You left me here and there was this woman who's been all around. She's had five husbands. She's with a guy now that's not her husband. You left me here. That wasn't the purpose. It wasn't to ruin this woman's reputation, that maybe people that didn't know. It wasn't about gossip. It wasn't about anything except ministering to her. And he ministered to her. And she did go and tell people, he told me everything. This is it. I found him. Y'all come. And the whole area, the whole village came out to see him. That was often. I mean, that was awesome. Now, y'all have heard this story. Some of you have heard this story. But this is just a fantastic, just an awesome, probably one of the most awesome words of knowledge I've ever heard as far as ministering to somebody by word of knowledge. And it was through Jason Fath. Jason Fath is a guy that we've met through Jeremy Gall. And Jason, for whatever reason, just like Jeremy has a thing with the miracles, Jason has a thing with words. And it seems like he's just learned how to tap into that and listen more frequently, yield to it. And so he was out on the streets and he was witnessing to people, and he came up to a car, and there were some people in the car, and there was a guy in the car, and the guy didn't want to have anything, didn't want to hear anything Jason had to say, was shooing him away, was really acting rough to him. Turns out the guy's a Muslim. So he is just very much opposed to any witness of Christ, any mention of the gospel, anything about Jesus he doesn't want to hear. And in a moment of time, I think before he even realized what he was doing, Jason turned and looked at him and he said to him, you have been involved in the planning and the carrying out of a murder. Well, that's kind of a stiff word. And if you're saying it to a man who was already hostile, and from the description, this guy looked kind of scary too, this is a pretty confrontive word. Now, this is a situation where you have been involved with the planning and carrying out of a murder. And it freaked the guy out. How did you know? What? I mean, the guy admitted it. And the guy, Jason led him to the Lord. This is a crazy story. But see, the purpose of it was not so he could go tell the police. The purpose of it was to minister to the guy and bring the guy in the kingdom. And y'all heard Harry, the first night we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, he talked about up at camp, youth camp, that his friend from ORU who was here, Robert Smalls, that there was a kid that was in his group, his small group, who was very resistant, didn't want anything to do with Jesus. It was like, you know, that's fine for y'all, but I don't want that. And for whatever reason, he got one word. Robert got one word, and he looked at the guy, and he said, who is DeMarco? Just this unusual name. Who is DeMarco? And it freaked the guy out, because DeMarco was a guy who had been in his life, had showed up just a couple of days before. There was this whole rigmarole around DeMarco. He could not believe that Robert would look at him and said, who is DeMarco? And from what I understand, he kept up everybody in his tent that night when he went to bed. He kept everybody up in his tent all night talking about, how did he know about DeMarco? What is this? This is craziness. But that was the opening that he needed to receive the Lord. That was the opening he needed to receive ministry into, you know, it opened the kid. Just one name of one person. See, there's a purpose of ministry behind words. Not so you can look like such a big, great guy, you know. And I think some people, they hear this stuff and they're like, hey, I want this because it'll make me look super spiritual or something. Or they want to be, you know, the guy with the words. It's not about that at all. And, you know, these words are legitimate, and I just want to take a moment and stop in my purpose talk here. And I just want to say something because I just remembered. It's not, and I think Nate did a really good job of this, talking about this, but it's not like giving somebody a psychic reading. You ever seen a TV show or something maybe where the dead are supposedly speaking or there's something going on, and it's almost like you can just throw anything out there. And, you know, it's like John. Who here does that mean anything to? You know? Okay, that one. Okay. But it's not like that. And it's not like you're just going through all these things and what about this. And I remember, I don't even know where they were, but I think you were there. You were at a Bold Venture. That might have been where it was, where a guy was talking about roller coasters. And he was like, he was just trying to, his best to give words to everybody. And it was just it was such a mockery of the word of knowledge. And the guy was probably sincere in desiring the gifts, but he had no idea of how to really tap into and yield to the Holy Spirit. And instead, he was just like making things up. An apple. Roller coaster? That isn't it. Whenever, I just tell you, whenever I've had words from God, they have been sure. I just want to say that. I just feel like I want to say that. When God's given me words, and maybe it's just that, I've practiced, so to speak, yielding to Him. When I know. And I've shared with you, and it bears repeating right here. We had a service on a Wednesday night. Only time this has ever happened to me in almost 22 years of Wednesday night services. Only time it's ever happened at the beginning of the service, I had a word of knowledge. And my word of knowledge that I had was that there's somebody with a gallbladder problem. And I knew, in this case, that was a word of knowledge, gallbladder problem, that God wanted to heal him. That would have been a gift of healing, those two together. And so I offered it to the crowd. Never done it before, never done it since. Gallbladder. And nobody took me up on the gallbladder. And I asked several times. And the reason I asked several times was not because I'm just trying to shoot it. I knew somebody had a gallbladder problem. And even though I look stupid, and if you had been here, I might would have made you uncomfortable. You would have been like, Susie, just shut up with the gallbladder. Ain't nobody got a gallbladder problem, and you're really looking like a fool. Just kill it. Just stop it. But it got, and if any of you remember this, during the service, as I'm speaking, like tonight, like I would just take a moment and I'd go, I still got that gallbladder. Who wants a gallbladder? And then I would just laugh because it was so funny to me that I knew that I had a word of knowledge about a gallbladder, but nobody was taking me up on it. So then it was funny to me. So I just started making gallbladder jokes. Like, so all night, this is what I'm doing. But what, the other side of the story is I leave out of here. I think the last thing I said is, gallbladders, anybody got a gallbladder problem? And nobody did. And they're like, thank God we're getting out of there. And she's trying to give me a gallbladder problem. And I get home. And meanwhile, Matt had not been in service because he had taken our son Grayson, who was like in the fourth grade, to the doctor. Because for months, Grayson every day would call home. They'd make him call home because he's at school throwing up. And they would want me to come get him, and I would tell them, I would put Grayson on the phone, I'd tell Grayson, just tell him you feel better and go back to class, because I didn't want to go get him, and Grayson just threw up all the time, it was just normal, and so we just didn't want to, he didn't really, this is just how we do sickness at our house, just go back to class and shut up, okay. And so this is going on for months until the people told us, you have to take him to the doctor, because they asked him, did your mom take you to the doctor? No. Why'd you tell him I didn't take you? So then they, I've never been to the doctor. It's probably what he's saying. Yeah, my mom don't take me. Oh, anyway. And so Matt finally took him to the doctor. He goes to the doctor. Lo and behold, something really is wrong with him. And he's what? How old are you in the fourth grade? He's this little kid, like 10 years old, nine or 10. That's little. You wouldn't think a 9 or 10 year old's got a gallbladder problem. And they tell us he's got a major gallbladder problem. That's why all this has been going on. And he's got to have his gallbladder out. And so they're telling Matt, we're scheduling surgery. We're doing this. We're taking out Grayson's gallbladder. So that's what I meet when I walk in the door at home. And Matt says, well, you're not going to like this. And then blah, blah. And when he said it, I just rolled laughing. It was the funniest thing in the world because I had just spent 2 hours having a word of knowledge about gallbladders, and I found the gallbladder, and we laid hands on him, and that was it. It was done. We never went back to the doctor, but not because he was thrown up. It was gone, and he still got his gallbladder. But the reason I'm telling that story is I had a knowing about it, and there's a sureness about it. And if you're kind of, wishy-washy about it, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If this is really you, I do that all the time. I say, if this is really you, if I'm kind of murky about it, he's a big enough God to show me surely. He knows me, and he can talk to me where I know that I know. And I'll say, well, if this is really you, show me. You know, let me know this is really you. Give me the assurance. He's the inward witness, his spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're sons of God. I know I'm a child of God. Well, I'll know. I knew there was a gallbladder situation. I just didn't know I was going to meet up with it 2 hours later at home. All right? So I wanted to say that. Now, we're going back to God's purposes. Now, so we talked about how so many of the words of wisdom or the words of knowledge will be about ministering and helping somebody. So many of them will. But not all of them are about that, but even though that's probably the way we think of them the most. We won't take time to read there, but Acts chapter 5 starts off with a word of knowledge. Ananias and Sapphira, read that. Peter had a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit told Peter that Ananias and Sapphira were making out like that they were given all the proceeds from this piece of property they sold, when in reality they weren't. It wasn't that they hadn't given it that was the problem. The problem was they were lying to everybody and putting on like they were really doing something big in comparison to what they were really doing. And God gave Peter a word of knowledge, and the word of knowledge that he gave him was to keep unity and harmony and to keep purity and holiness in the church. The church was in a really fledgling position. We were just at the very beginning stages. And here's the enemy influencing some of the top leaders to do something with the love of money, which is the root of all evil, and to put on like, look at me. And so that was rooted out, bam. But it was all through words of knowledge. Now, how convinced was Peter of what he had heard from God? He was pretty convinced. And you see it if you read Acts 5. He doesn't tell you, well, and I want to bring out, how did Jesus know that Judas was the one stealing from the treasury? He knew he was. And how long had he known it? We don't know how long he had known. And I don't think he knew because he saw him slipping some. I think he knew it by the Spirit. He had a word of knowledge of what was going on. But I think he held on to that. And he didn't tell everybody. He just looked at him and said, whatever you got to do, do it. So that's important. You don't just always tell everything you know. That's important. And he doesn't tell you. Here's another one. He doesn't tell you so you can gossip. Again, if he tells you something, ask him, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to pray about it? Because sometimes you'll have a word of knowledge, and it's just because God needs somebody on the earth to pray. So maybe it's just to pray. Maybe it's to confront them. Maybe it's to speak the truth in love. I don't know. But he will show you. But you're not supposed to tell everything you know. So don't get a, you know, if you get a word of knowledge about me, especially, don't run in here on Sunday morning and grab the mic from Frank and say, I got a word about, you know, just pray for me. If you need to talk, we can go in the corner. And go in one of the bathroom stalls. We can talk. You don't have to, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I remember a good friend of ours in the ministry was standing up speaking on a Sunday morning, and a man walked in the back door of the church. And as the man walked in the back door and walked across, he had a word of wisdom. That man's here to destroy your church. And he knew it. But he ignored it. Now see, this is a case of not doing with the word what you should. He knew it, and he knew it, and he knew it, and he let the guy get in, and the guy was really, you know, agreeable and sweet and a big giver and a knowledgeable guy, and he let the guy get in a position of leadership, and the guy destroyed his church, just like the Lord told him. So don't ignore them either. And this is something, I quote this and a lot, and I think of this, but there's a scripture in Luke 2, verse 19. This is a good word for you tonight. You want a word tonight? This is a good word. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think that's something spiritual people do. They keep things and they ponder them in their heart. And they let God give them more insight and revelation. And they remember them, and they just keep them. I'm not talking about unforgiveness. I'm talking about the things of God, the things that God's talking to you about in Revelation. Just keep them in your heart. You pray over them. You listen for more. If you hear things that are pertaining to it, you add it to them, and you just keep that, and you ponder it in your heart. That's what happened. That's a really good word, isn't it? She kept them and she pondered them in her heart. Now, final thing as we close is this. The words, whether they're words of wisdom or words of knowledge that you get, they align with God's purposes. And God gives them to you for his purposes. And they are not for sport. They're not for entertainment. And they are not to call attention to you. That is not the purpose of them. And I've seen people that somehow or another, in their mind, it's almost for entertainment purposes. And that's not what they are. But they are to align with God's purposes. So what are some of God's purposes? Well, one of God's purposes is to preserve your life and to provide safety for you. Y'all remember, I think in this case it was a discerning spirit. An angel came and told Joseph and Mary to go down to Egypt, to go back where they came from. That was to preserve their life. So an angel came with a word of wisdom for them. So that was those two operating together. There's a case in the scripture, a very interesting thing that happens in the scripture. When they were preparing to have the Last Supper, they needed a place to have it. And Jesus told his followers, told his disciples, he said, go into town and you're going to see a man that's going to be walking through town with a pitcher in his hand. And you follow that man to where he's going. And then when you get there, he gave him instructions. That was a word of wisdom, but it was about providing something that they needed. So that's God's purpose, is provision, a man with a pitcher in his hand. It's something about furthering God's plan in the earth. And this is really important. I believe that God has a lot more words of wisdom for us when it comes to provision. I think God's got more words for you when it comes to provision. I think you've missed some. I think God wants you more provided, better provided for. And I think we can't just lean to the arm of the flesh or our own common sense or, you know, even Dave Ramsey principles. I think we need to depend on the Spirit of God to lead us, and that he will, at his will, he will give us words that will indicate to us what we should do. This has happened to us at various times. I know one of my favorite stories about this is a guy named Phil Halverson and his wife. God had led him into ministry, but he had no support. He was a traveling guy, but he didn't preach. And God just used him kind of in a supernatural way, but he didn't have any support stream. And he said to the Lord, what am I to do? And the Lord showed him to buy a business. Well, he didn't really buy a business. All he did was buy the books of a business. And by the books, I mean he bought the debt that people owed a business. And the people had tried to collect on this debt, and nobody had paid. And so it was this collection of money, you know, of bills, that they of receivables, of things that they were owed that had gone bad. And they were selling them. And the Lord spoke to Philip Halverson and told him to buy that. And so he bought it. And he got the same telephone number that the people had had in the business. And every morning when he would get up, he would pray. And oftentimes when he was praying, he would get a name like McDonald or McCormick. And a lot of times it was even the same, like it'd be 3 M's or something. And they would that day get phone calls, or people would come that had that name who were in those books and they owed money, and they would just come and give them money. And that happened for months like that. And it would just be this simple word of wisdom that he would be praying. God would give him this word of wisdom about these names, and these people would show up and pay. Y'all, that is crazy supernatural. And it happened again and again and again. But that's somebody who just, that's how I know, because I hear a story like that. And I know it's legit and this guy's real. It's not just some crazy thing. I know a lot more about this situation and this man. But when I know that this guy wasn't any more special to God than you are. God doesn't love him anymore. It's just he had learned to yield, learned to listen. And I think if we'd learn to yield and learn to listen, God could show us all kinds of things. You know what I mean? Isn't that true? Do y'all believe that? Now, we're not in this for our own profit, but we do know that God has provision for us. He has provision. And so I think there's a lot of supernatural provision, and I think there's a lot more available to us. And then the final thing, I'll just tell you, you can go and read this, but Acts chapter 10 is now a New Testament version of almost the same thing. Acts chapter 10, Peter going down to Cornelius's house, it's the same thing. In there you will find, if you read that, you find discerning of spirits. And you find words of wisdom and words of knowledge are all through that one account. Just read the account of Peter and Cornelius. An angel appeared. Peter had a vision. He had a word of knowledge that the people were there at the gate. All this happened. So you see it again and again in the scripture. It's all over the scripture. I think it should be all over your life. I think it should be all over this church. I think it should be all over your business. I think it should be all over your school. Whatever you set your hand to do. I think that the Spirit of God and manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit should be all over you. That's the will of God. And if we'll just learn to cooperate and yield and listen, and I don't think we've even said this, and I am closed almost. I don't think that we've said this up to this point, but the best way, if you want to flow, the best thing that you can do is pray in tongues. Now, we can stir up and talk about them and all this, but I'm telling you, Philip Halverson, it's no doubt to me that those things happened in his life because he was hugely into praying in tongues. And I will tell you that the gifts of the Spirit really began to flow in my life when I really made a commitment to pray in tongues. And any time that I'm praying in tongues, I always see something flowing out of that. I cannot tell you. I literally, we could just go for days. We could do Wednesday night for the rest of the year, no problem, talking about just this. But praying in tongues, it stirs up. And it's like the gateway in. It's a supernatural happening where you're releasing supernatural words and all kinds of things come as a result of it. So I'm just saying, if anything that you've heard the last several weeks has piqued your interest, or you thought, I need to learn more about that, or I want that more in my life, tonight I'm telling you, pray in tongues. And ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you, Father, that you're not holding them back from us, but you have them for us. You got a lot more for us than what we know. You got a lot more for us than what we've even thought about or understood. You got a lot more for us. And Father, we just want you to know tonight that just like Paul told us to, we desire spiritual gifts. We desire for you to manifest yourself. We desire them, Father. We desire them when we gather, and we desire them when we're out in our worlds. We desire them, Father. We long for them. We desire that we would prophesy, but we also desire the revelation gifts. We desire the power gifts that we're going to talk about next week. We desire the vocal gifts. We desire all of them. Whatever you'd like to do, Father, we're available. Teach us and train us and walk with us and help every one of us to flow with you. You are the great tutor, Holy Spirit, and you'll teach us all. You'll train us all, hallelujah, how to flow. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.